All right, welcome back to another episode of Another Bourbon Show. Tonight we're going to be drinking a local craft distillery called Switchgrass Spirits. Switchgrass is from the St. Louis area, just west of St. Louis. Is that correct, Stephen?
Yeah, it's a little west, a little north.
A little west, a little north of St. Louis. Okay. Yep. But yeah, so Stephen's providing us the whiskey for the night. So tonight we're going to be drinking Switchgrass Rye. You said that this is a wheated rye, Stephen, is that right?
Yeah, so I met a couple of these guys from Switchgrass Spirits, or at least one from Switchgrass Spirits, and then another who was there in some capacity that we don't see him on the website. And they introduced this to me at the time as a wheated rye. They were like, hey, here, try our rye. It's a wheated rye. And upon looking at it, we can see that it's from their website. They say that it's 76% rye, 12% wheat, and 12% malted barley. No corn in this guy. And they say this high recipe complements the traditional flavors found in our charred Missouri white oak barrels, and it's aged for at least 2 years.
So all right.
That's all they give you. It's aged for at least 2 years. So, you know, somewhere around there in the vicinity.
Does the bottle say straight rye?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and here is that bottle.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. Thank you. Okay. What's the proof on it?
The proof is 100, sitting at 100 proof.
100 proof. 50% ABV. Very sweet. And Stephen, what do you think of that label?
I think that this label, particularly the rye whiskey one, because of the font, I think there's a bunch of different styles going on here. I don't know how well you guys can see that, but I think that you could call some parts of this and some styles of it like almost like an older Gothic type, or you could say that there's a lot of different influences, maybe some metalish element to it, maybe some punk or grunge. There's a lot of different styles to it. And I think it just looks cool. It's a very amalgamation type bottle. There's a lot of different fonts and a lot of different styles going on. And then I have another bottle of theirs. And if you look on their website at their various bottles, it seems like they have, I don't know, a mixed identity. And in some ways that can service it. In other ways, I think that can hurt it, because their identity in itself seems to basically be this font up here. Whatever the rest of the styling happens, it happens specific to that bottle. So in terms of recognizability, this is kind of unusual for the labels, but I feel like you won't necessarily recognize something as a Switchgrass Spirits offering from far away, but you'll know it's at least a different product from one another. Again, the only way you're going to know if it's Switchgrass Spirits is this font up here, and then the overall label shape. And those two things I actually don't think are that interesting. I think the Switchgrass Spirits is pretty straightforward, though I would say it's actually kind of unusual that something goes with like a little arch font like this. You don't see that often for whatever reason, even though it's pretty like standard. And you also don't really care too much about that. It's not a very remarkable label shape. So the only other thing you're left with is this little symbol in the middle, which looks like I don't know the origin of this. I have not looked this up, but it looks like a little tattoo to me, because it's some grain, like some, you know, some wheat maybe, or some barley.
Maybe, and then some grass.
Could be some grass. And then there's some snakes that are like,
looks pagan. So from the first time you held it up, I was like, that looks like pagan to me.
Yeah,
I
don't know. Pagan, maybe that's what I meant instead of Gothic. Maybe it is kind of more pagan. So I don't know. This is a really weird one to me to rate because of all those things and because the labels themselves are so different. I'll say I like the color, the maroon color to it, and I think it fits the whiskey really well. So this one probably gets a little more favorable rating than some of the other labels were. And I'm going to be giving this one a 6. Still think it's okay-ish. This one's pretty good, I think, but it's really hard to pin down an exact identity for him right now, and I think that hurts him a little bit for me. So, yeah.
Okay. Ryan, what do you think of that label?
You know, I think it looks cool. I think it's like where it says a worker owned company on the right. I mean, I get they wanted like three different kind of shapes or things to highlight the middle of the bottle. I think like an employee owned company sounds a little better. This is just, you know, me looking at it. I just think it's a little weird spot for that on the bottle. You know, I feel like a little more informative things like that should be on the back.
I think they were pretty proud of that. I'll say that. Like when I talked to them, they were proud of it. So,
yeah. And I understand that. I just feel like that would be better on the back side of the bottle with something else that highlights the actual whiskey itself. Not to say they're, you know, diminish any sort of like employee ownership of the company. I just, for the more informative things, I feel like it should be on the back of the bottle.
I think,
and that's, then I don't, yeah, I don't know what's
really fair.
I think it's a cool color. It's a cool color. Like the actual color itself. And then kind of the ridge at the top is all really cool. I mean, I think that color stands out. I don't see a lot of whiskeys with that reddish purplish color.
Yeah.
They have a slightly different font on the back too. And it almost looks like, I don't know how well you guys can make it out, but it almost looked to me like looks like festival font. Like when you're seeing who's performing at a festival. Mm. If you know what I mean by that, like that's almost the only way I can describe it, but it's like, or it's like an old airline company type font, like something like that.
I feel like they always have to like fill in the, if there's any open space on the bottle, front or back, they have to put something there to fill in the gap.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on front and back.
Another thing that they say on the front and back is you can see on the front down here and on the back right here, but it is sweet mashed, by the way. That's another thing they're super proud of.
I also think with the front of the bottle, you know, altogether, that the side where it says 50% alcohol by volume, 750 milliliter, and then the worker owned company, they could probably just eliminate those off the front label altogether. I feel like it would make the bottle stand out a little bit more.
It makes it look a little busy. Yeah.
Yeah.
With all of that stuff on there.
Here's another thing that's kind of annoying me about the alcohol industry right now, because of, I mean, this is what's being claimed, you know, glass shortages, bottle shortages, low inventories, blah, blah, blah.
Plastic bottles. Do it.
No, don't do that. But a lot of bottles are going down to 700 milliliters. I don't know if you've noticed that at all, Dan, but keep an eye on it. Market's kind of trending that way. And what I think is going to happen is there's going to be a lot more 700 milliliters on the market that are just about the same price as what the 750 was. So keep an eye on that.
Question. I think if memory serves, over in the EU, the standard bottle size is 700, not 750. Is that part of it as well? Like not only glass shortages, but like let's just unify and have a single standard bottle size that matches here as matches there.
Yeah, I haven't heard
you that. It makes sense to go with the 700 because like we don't use mLs anyway. So
yeah, I haven't heard that. That's an interesting point though. I'll have to see. Because a lot of the bottles I have seen are from Europe that are doing that. So,
yeah, I think if memories, I'm pretty sure that 700 has been the standard in Europe forever, but it was never 7. Well, maybe it was, but prior, like I was in Europe starting in 2004. Yeah, 2004. And from like 2004 on, I remember it always being. I think I remember it always being 700 ml bottles. So I was just curious if maybe that was the reason.
Ryan, a lot of these companies that would maybe do this are probably also the same companies that are charging now like more and more for the 50 milliliter bottles. So I say if they're going to drop it by 50 milliliters, that's fine, but they have to also drop the price by the same as what they're currently charging for their 50 milliliters. Be consistent. And then what? Are you really going to drop $5 off your price or are you way overcharging for that airplane bottle?
Way overcharging for that airplane
bottle. Right. It goes without saying. But the point is yeah. You're getting gouged everywhere you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you say we drink?
Let's do it.
Let's drink.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, it does smell young.
Yeah, Ryan, let's just keep harping on the fact that it's young.
Yes, it's very young. It's going to taste very young. But I think there's something there.
It doesn't smell 2 years old.
What do you think it smells like?
Well, I can smell the wheat very, very, very clearly. It has a very doughy, very, very, very doughy smell to it. Yes, it smells. I'm getting the rye spice as well, but more dominant to me is the doughy.
It's almost like a sourdough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you get when a whiskey's really young. Because I'm going to harp on it, the fact that it's young nonstop.
I taste a lot of sourdough on it too.
I haven't tasted it yet.
Kind of like a hint of mint on the back end.
Oh, wow. The dough from the wheat is really strong to me.
Yeah. Overpowering. It's predominantly what I get.
Oh, and there's that mint that you were talking about, Ryan. I got a, yeah.
Yeah.
Like on the tip of my tongue and the back of my tongue. But not in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And a nice hug.
It feels good.
A nice warm hug.
Yeah. I was going to let you guys just talk about it because I have been sipping on it a little bit before you guys got your vials. But I agree with everything that you're saying. One thing that has stood out to me every time I drank this, I'm curious if you guys have the same experience. It's really weird in the glass. Look at your glass.
Hmm.
How strange is that? Have you ever seen any whiskey do that?
And that is really...
For everybody listening, it doesn't run. There's no legs to it at all. It is as if... I don't even know what to compare it to. It's as if there's condensation on your glass or something.
Now, see, I get legs, but it's like weird, really weird legs.
There's just static drops strange. For me. Basically, you probably can't see it on my mic on my camera, but
no, I can't. What are you getting, Nemo? I have legs.
Yeah, I do.
I have very clear legs.
I see what you're saying now, Steve. It's like one little drip, like
I get like little almost, drips.
It almost like separates out and goes down the glass.
It's like the ingredients are separating.
It's like someone took a paintbrush and just went like that on the.
Exactly.
A canvas, yeah.
Oh, that is neat. No, I've never seen that before. That's very
strange. That is interesting.
I have no idea what happens. I'm sure that...
It's very young.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
You think just any super young whiskey would do this?
He's being an asshole.
No, I don't know.
See, I'm just... You told us not to...
You told us not to harp on it being young, so I want to harp on it being young.
Hey, that's fair. But yeah, that was something that stood out to me immediately when I was drinking. I was like, what the hell is going on? But I think that I love the finish on this personally.
Yeah.
I think that it's pretty awesome. And it's warm, but it doesn't burn at all to me. It's just warmth.
I've got to agree with you on that. And like one of the, so none of it, like it doesn't drink like it's 100 proof to me as far as like burn goes, blah, blah, blah. But it does numb my tongue more than a typical 100 proof whiskey does. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I do, but my tongue is tingly from the actual alcohol.
It's a it's a good fall, like cold days whiskey. Kind of get that oatmeal, a little brown sugar on it too. It's definitely, the more I drink it, the more notes I'm picking up. At first I'm like, oh, just sourdough, but that mintiness at the end is real. It's a nice touch.
Yeah. So I want to say one more. I'm going to use it one more time. It does taste young, but I don't think that that hinders it. I think that it, like, I'm not getting hardly any oak from it. I'm not getting the, like, caramels and those barrel types of sweetnesses to it. But I'm getting a mild sweetness to it. No brown sugar, no caramel.
No.
But a wheat, a nice subtle wheat sweetness to it.
I'll tell you guys this as well. This is, it retails, I couldn't remember how much I paid for it, so I just looked this up. It is $41.48 on their website. And it looks like you can order it through their website online if you'd like to. And they, another thing that I appreciate about them, I just remembered now, is they also offer, like, this is their straight rye, but they also offer a rye that's only $32. And I like that up front, they have a bourbon, not their, they also have a straight, they have a bourbon, they have a straight bourbon, they have a rye, and they have a straight rye. The bourbon and rye, not the straight versions, are both $32. The straight versions are $41 a piece. And they openly will tell you when you're, like, sampling them, they go, this is kind of our mixer. They tell you up front, they're like, we kind of make this as an offering of ours where people usually will mix it with something else. You're generally not going to sip this, which I also thought was good.
So I actually met Sarah. She's one of the founders, owners at, I don't remember what it was called, the Pig and Whiskey Festival or whatever it was. It was at Schlafly later or earlier this summer. They had a booth set up, and I walked up to it, and I started chatting with the people that were working there, and Sarah was there, and y'all, I did the dumbest fucking thing. Like you guys know I'm dumb, and I do dumb shit all the time. But this is pretty high on my list of things that I've done that are dumb. I had a little carrying case with me. I brought my own whiskey to the Pig and Whiskey Festival. And I had a little vial of our barrel pick. And I'm chatting with Sarah about our finished barrel pick and talking about us having done it with Stumpy's and how great it was and how fantastic it was. And I said, hey, do you want me to pour you a glass of it? And right when I asked her, that's when I remembered, oh shit, she's like a full 9+ months pregnant. Like, she could go into childbirth at any moment, and I just offered her a pour of whiskey. That's how dumb I am.
Well, that's that Southern hospitality.
Yeah. Period, you know?
And the fetal alcohol syndrome that Southern states are known for. All rolled into one.
Yeah. She declined, but, yeah, she declined, and I was just like, I made a joke about how dumb I was to her in that moment, because it was like, fuck, you're dumb, Dan. It was very hospitable, though.
Were you a few drinks in at that point?
No, I think I was purely sober. Oh, I'll be honest. I think I was completely sober, and I mean, I know it's strange and probably hard for you guys to imagine that I, Dan, would ever ignore the health and well-being of others. That probably shocks you. But this was a moment where I did just that. Purely accident.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like you, Dan.
It doesn't. I'm normally so conscientious of others' thoughts and well-being. So, but she was very cool. Like, she sat there and we talked for 15 minutes before I tried to harm her child. We talked for like 2 minutes after that. She was just like, you got to go, dude.
Well, hey, the next time you see her, hopefully she's, you know, not 14 months pregnant or whatever the next outing is.
I'm going to throw this out there. Let's rate this son of a bitch.
Let's do it.
I feel like this is the appropriate time to rate it, because I think I'm ready to.
Yep.
How about you start us then, Dan?
I can start us. I'm going to start us with a 6.1. A 6.1. I almost went with 5.7, and I don't know why. But for some reason, it was either a 5.7 or a 6.1. There was no chance of it being a 5.8, 5.9, 6.0. It was one of those two, and I don't know why. But it's going to improve a lot with more time in the cask. And I'm not just trying to harp on the fact that it's young, but it is. It is young.
No, that's fair. I just meant I didn't want the only thing we said about it at the end of the episode to be that it's young, because it obviously is.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
But I think that it's got some really great characteristics now. I think that combining the wheat sweetness with the rye spice is a really neat idea. I think that that's pretty cool. Good for them. I wish I knew, like, to what point they malted their barley. Like, is it like a honey malt? Is it, you know, like, how dark did they roast their barley, essentially? Because it's got a really good flavor to it. And I think that the barley is probably where that mint flavor comes from. So I'd be interested in knowing more about that. But I think that, yeah, I think it's a really good spirit, and give it some more time to develop some additional profile characteristic in the barrel, and I think they're going to have a real serious winner. But for right now, I think it's a 6.1, which is fine. And I'm not displeased with having drank it. Let's put it that way. So 6.1 for Dan.
Do you want to go, Ryan, or should I?
Yeah, I'll go next. I'm going to go with 6.5. You know, when I first had it, I was overcome with all that sourdough and everything like that. But I really like the mint finish. I really, for as young as it is, I mean, it's a nice, complex finish. And the more you drink it, like I said earlier, I got some oatmeal out of it. Maybe just because it's so, you know, cold out. It was snowing a little bit earlier today, but kind of gave me that like warm, nice hug, the kind of whiskey I'd like to drink on a night like this. I thought the 4 grain was, you know, a nice touch on it. Give it another 2 to 4 years in the barrel. This could be a really, really, really good rye. And I think for the people in the St. Louis area where, you know, obviously you got the Bourbon Society, but if you got to open yourselves up to more ryes, and you got Switchgrass down there, and they're doing a good job. You know, I'd like to see how their lower end one is in like a old fashioned or a Manhattan or something like that. But I think for what this is and how new the juice is in the bottle, I think it's really good. I'm gonna go 6.5.
And I'm gonna go with a straight 7.0, which is a great score. And I think that I feel like you guys were a little bit low, although I totally get why, and your reasons for it. But the moment I tried this, like I said earlier, I think it's a great sipper. Is $40 steep for a sipper, or for this bottle, and for me just saying it's a great sipper? It probably is. But I also don't think it's a ridiculous amount of craft tax. It's not getting into like, if it was, this is how much difference $10 can make. But if it was like $50-$60, I'd be like, this is way too much for this. But I think it's priced right. And I think that I would put this in a rotation. I know this is not what they consider to be their like mixer rye, but I would put it right there with something like, I was just thinking whenever I first tasted it, that was like, I have not done it yet, but I was like, I bet this would be good in some cocktails, like Ryan mentioned. And I think that it would be an interesting, I would use it in similar ways that I would use like Evan Williams. I said that about something else recently, but I would use it in the same way I use like an Evan Williams bottle and bond. And I know that it's like 4 times the price of that, granted. But I think it's versatile because I would use it for that, but I would also sip it with friends. And when I'm sitting around the bonfire this time of year with friends having some whiskey, this is exactly the kind of whiskey I would pull out. And at that point, I'm not worried about how young it is. You know what I mean? And I just feel like it's a great one to sip. I love the finish on it. It's nice and warm, but there's no burn. To me, it's like exactly what you want from all those things. So I have no problem giving it a 7 right on the dot. That's the highest I would give it. But I'd also agree with you guys that the potential is there to make something really, really cool with more time that I would gladly pay into those $50 to $60 price ranges for. So I'm excited to see what else they come out with. And the fact that they're doing this all, it seems like in 53-gallon barrels with a sweet mash, it just shows a lot of promise. So hopefully they keep going and we're trying more stuff from them again soon.
Yeah, one thing I want to throw out. 2 to 4 years, it could be in the eights for sure. Some more aging.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly with that. One thing I didn't mention earlier is that one thing that detracts from it for me is it makes my mouth feel dirty. I don't know why, but like sitting here now that like the glass is empty, my mouth does feel dirty. And I don't know why, but it does. And I have no problems. Steven, I can see a 7. Ryan, I can see a 6.5. And I can, of course, see my 6.1. Let's also not forget, though, that even a 6.1 isn't really a bad score, right? Like, that's... It's a mediocre score. It's moderate. So, yeah, if you see it on the shelf, I can support you buying it.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
And also, keeping in mind, if you can do something, if you can take 2 years to make a product, and then that is a mediocre score, that's still pretty damn good, you know?
Goddamn right it is. Yeah.
You could give me 2 years, and at the end of that, I'd be like, here's what I came up with. You're not going to be giving me a 6. Another bubble showing.